In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Today we have entered the season of Advent. The coming of Christ as a child is upon us. We know this story well. It is a story of hope, promises fulfilled, and future promises to be kept. Every Advent season, I have warm expectations of family and friends, a season that is completed with beautiful worship on Christmas Eve. Perhaps we think that if we were present in Bethlehem 2,000 plus years ago, we would have felt a similar expectation. The prophetic signs were there. Angels from the heavenlies proclaimed his coming. The three wise men followed a brilliant shining star that led them to worship the breaking through of God into our world. Christ's first coming was proclaimed. I am sure we would have been full of expectation. Jesus' birth marked the beginning of a new age, an age that we are living right now, an age of great hope, while at the same time, an age of great despair. This age is marked by a titanic battle between good and evil, but it is a battle whose outcome is certain. Jesus' words tell us that no one but God knows when God will end this battle. But Jesus does tell us we are either on one side or another. Are we on the side of good or of evil? There is no middle ground, for we serve one master or the other. Ultimately, our choice will be determined if we are taken or left. Human history is filled with sorrow. The trench warfare in World War I killed 20 million people. The Holocaust killed 6 million. World War II killed at least another 70 million. And there were 20 million souls starved, shot, or beaten to death under Stalin. 70 million starved or died of disease under Mao's Cultural Revolution. And an additional 2 million were beaten to death in China. The poverty, the disease, famines, and wars are like a never-ending parade of disaster through human history. Every life has its troubles, great and small. We ask God, why? It seems unfair that God would allow this to be. We ask, why does God allow this suffering? Why doesn't he stop with the sorrows, earthquakes, famines, pestilence, and wars? Why can't life just be comfortable? We desperately want to know what the future holds. Everywhere we turn, it seems someone's predicting some catastrophe that is going to happen. But Jesus tells us the future is not ours to know. Just as Jesus' disciples beseeched him for the key to unlock the knowledge of what is to come, so do we desire to know what the future might bring so that we might be ready. Perhaps we think, if only we could see into the future, we could build a world where our suffering is avoided. Or we think, it's other people or groups of people who cause suffering. If only we could fix them, or at least silence them. This reminds me of a joke. Once I saw a man on a bridge about to jump. I said, "Don't do it." He said, "Nobody loves me." I said, "God loves you. Do you believe in God?" He said, "Yes." I said, "Are you a Christian or a Jew?" He said, "I'm a Christian." I said, "Me too." Protestant or Catholic? He said, Protestant? I said, me too. What denomination? He said, Baptist. I said, me too. Northern Baptist or Southern Baptist? He said, Northern Baptist. I said, me too. Northern Conservative Baptist or Northern Liberal Baptist? He said, Northern Conservative Baptist. I said, me too. Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region or Northern Conservative Baptist Eastern Region? He said, Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region. I said, me too. Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1879 or Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1912? He said, Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1912. I said, die, heretic. And I pushed him over the bridge. Jesus is clear. We do not need to know the future, for we are to live in the present. Paul tells us in Romans, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment to wake from sleep. Jesus calls, wake up, wake up, follow me, heal the sick, feed the poor, comfort the mourning, and encourage others to love. Even those who are members of the Church of the Northern Conservative Baptist Great Lakes Region Council of 1912, God's plan is to enlarge the kingdom of God, one soul at a time. God has not come to end this age yet, but he will someday. Until then, this is the age of redemption. He does not desire to lose a single soul. But on the other hand, his love allows each soul to choose their own destination. Jesus entrusted his church, each one of us here at Holy Innocence, to proclaim his kingdom through his power in our lives to those who are lost so that they may be found. His grace forbears our brokenness at great cost, for no one suffers alone. As Christ hung on the cross, he endured every cruelty, wound, and brutality ever borne any person, past, present, or future. Jesus tells us there will be a day when it will end. Jesus will return and complete the task he began. His message for us until that time, come to me, and you will be saved from your suffering, even up to my death, or up to death. My kingdom will come. Father Brian reminded us recently that Scripture tells us we have a choice. That choice being the narrow path or the wide path. I believe to walk the narrow path is to live as though Jesus is coming back today, but plan as though he is not coming back for 100 years. This is worth repeating. Live as though Jesus is coming back today. Plan as though he is not coming back for 100 years. Our hope is that that baby born in Bethlehem 2,000 plus years ago, we do not know when he will come again. We cannot know, but paradoxically, we know he is here now. I know that I can live in a world ruled by a Lord who binds my wounds, dries my tears, and brings love and hope in my heart. We pray every Sunday that your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. So why is Jesus taking so long to come? Jesus tells us to live in the expectation that the kingdom could come tomorrow. Well, I like to believe it's because Jesus is waiting on those who are lost and are yet to be found. So as we look forward to the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ this Advent, prepare for his first and second coming by extending grace and mercy to those you meet. For that is what Jesus has done, is doing, and will do for us. He invites us to live by and into his grace. You and I will be presented moments of opportunity to say a kind word, lend a helping hand, listen with compassion, meet a need, celebrate a blessing, forgive a wrong, restore a relationship. Stop. Take the time to meet these opportunities in that moment. It will cost you something, but your reward is in heaven. Each morning, pray that you choose to accept his invitation this Advent season. Pray that you be extravagant, extending his grace and mercy in those moments that he is presenting to you. I would like you to pray with me in your heart a prayer written by a blogger named Christy. Dear Lord, thank you for everything you have done or are going to do in my life. Give me the wisdom and discernment in making every life decision. Give me the strength to resist my flesh and all worldly desires. And most importantly, deepen my trust in you and your plans for my life. Give me the strength and fortitude to continue down the straight and narrow path, no matter what may come. Help me remember your wisdom during the difficult times and hold firmly to your steadfast promises. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.